hallelujah. God bless you today, beloved, in the marvelous and beautiful name of the life of God, of the Zoe of the Father, the name of Yeshua, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. My spirit is so full today. This is going to be really a blessing today because of the light that the Holy Spirit is revealing. The word said that men, this is the condemnation, talked about darkness yesterday, but I want to show you something. This is a part of the light. One of the main parts of the light is actually exposed in that very passage. This is the condemnation, that men love the darkness and they don't want to come to the light. They hate the light, because it exposes that their deeds are evil. Now he speaks in the plural, men, their deeds. But then he says, but he, and he speaks in the singular, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that it may be revealed that everything he does is wrought in God. It's the Father doing it through him. He is not the one doing it. He who does the truth is not afraid of the truth. He's not afraid to confess the truth. He's not afraid that there are none who are righteous, that the only righteous one is the Father. He's not afraid of that truth. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There is only one who is good, my Father who is in heaven. Oh, beloved, I want you to be blessed today as the Holy Spirit will open our eyes and help us to see the truth. One of the greatest revelations I've ever received from God in 1995, he personally took a long season to show me that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He was showing me that I cannot produce anything that is good or anything that is righteous, and he's not calling me to do it. He's calling me to abide and to rest in Christ. Now, I thought I fully got it back then, but I didn't. Years later, he had to show me again the same thing in a different way. He pulled me up, the only way I could explain it, and showed me the right-hand seat. And he said, this seat belongs to you. These keys, he showed me some keys. These keys belong to you. But you'll never be able to access them as long as you think there is something of value within yourself to offer to me. He said, this is not a partnership. Only one life can sit on this seat. And once again, he was telling me, anything that I attempt to do for him is impure and tainted. God never intended for man to do for God. He intended for man to be a vessel in which God does his works through. He intended for us not to do, but to yield. He intended for us not to produce, but to believe, and to allow his life to flow through us. Everywhere the river flows, everything that touches the river of life comes to life. Oh my goodness. The reason Adam and Eve had no problem before they took of the wrong tree is because they ate of the right tree. There was no knowledge of good and evil because they didn't know sin, because the life was flowing through them. It wasn't them living. It was the Father living through them. But when they partook of that other tree, they lost that flow of the Zoe of God. They lost it. They became independent vessels who have to do for God. And God gave the law to man to show us that nobody does righteous, that nobody really can produce anything that is valuable, anything that is good. And when you really understand this scripture, he says, men, Adam, the first Adam, he loves darkness. He hates the light and he won't come to it. He's not talking about a group of people. He's not talking about those bad people won't come to the light, but the good people come to the light. That's what I thought. That's what everybody thinks at first. But look at it closely and ask the Holy Spirit to really help you to see what it says. Only he can unveil your eyes to understand there's only one righteous life. Oh my goodness. Look at this scripture. He says, men hate darkness. This is the condemnation. Light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil, he's talked all of those who do evil, hate the light. Neither do they come to the light, lest their deeds are reproved. But he, now he says singular, but he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That they are wrought in God. Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. I can do nothing of myself. The works that you see are the Father working in me, working through me. Now, watch how he says, he who does the truth. He doesn't even say all those who do good. He says, he who does the truth comes to the light. He doesn't hate the light. He's not afraid of the light. Because he wants it to be seen that he is not the one producing righteousness. He's not the one doing anything. It's the Father doing it. This is the light, friend. Oh my goodness. This, everything Jesus said, when he said it, how he said it, has meaning. What is the light? The light is that there is only one who is truly good. And it is the Father. His life is the only life that is good. The reason I constantly talk about the Zoe, the life of Jesus is the only good life, is because that Zoe is the life of the Father. It's not even Jesus producing it. Jesus is the life of the Father. His flesh was temporary. It wasn't the life of the Father. When he said, listen, I'm not doing it, it's the Father. He's talking about the life, the Zoe of God. When Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He was saying, I am the life of the Father. When you see me, you see the Father. I only do what I see him do. I only say what I hear him say. This is what man was created for from the beginning. And the light is this truth. Oh my goodness. When you begin to understand he who does the truth, he's not talking about a group of us. He's talking about one. He's talking about the life of the Father. The promises of God were not to the seeds of Abraham. They were to the seed of Abraham. Now listen to this. This is really, really strong stuff here. This is good stuff. Every promise that God ever made throughout all of the scriptures has always been to the one. It's never been to the group who would do good. It's never been to the part of the first Adam, those in that part of the first Adam's life, those who would perform well. That's what it appears to be on the outside. For example, the righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, or the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. These are all promises. These are all declarations about the righteous man. And when we read the Bible with veiled eyes, what we think is that there is a group of us who are righteous, and therefore our steps are ordered by God. And there's a group of us who are not righteous, and their steps are not ordered by God. But the truth is, there is no group of us who are righteous. There are none among the life of the first Adam who leave a inheritance to their children's children. Because the true riches, the true inheritance, has nothing to do with money. Jesus is the only righteous man because he was totally yielded. It was the life of the Father. That's why he's the only righteous man. And he didn't leave cows. He didn't leave money. He didn't leave houses. He didn't leave land. He left nothing material to his descendants. He didn't even have any physical descendants. But he is the righteous man who left an inheritance to his children's children. He left an inheritance to every generation, because the true riches, remember Jesus said, he who is unfaithful with the unrighteous mammon won't be entrusted with the true riches. You've got to be faithful with the unrighteous mammon to be trusted with the true riches, because the unrighteous mammon has nothing to do with true wealth. The money of this world and the things of this world have nothing, friend, absolutely nothing to do with true wealth or true riches. They are all poverty. They are all decay. They are all filthy lucre, filthy, unrighteous, nasty stuff that is decaying and going back to dust. Oh, it's pitiful stuff. When we go to sometimes we go to the salvage yard, or we see something rusted to the ground or rotted to the ground, and we look at it and go, oh my goodness, that's pitiful. Listen, God sees everything here in the same way, because it is all in the state of decay. The house you live in, the car you drive, though it feels good to you because you're in the moment where it appears to be nice, it appears maybe even to be brand new. But what God sees is he sees the little parts of the metal and the wood. He sees it all in a state of decay. He sees it all going back to dust. And 1,000 years to him is like one day. Everything he sees going back to dust. It's all in a miserable, pitiful state of decay. It has nothing to do with true riches. So, get back to this. The one, praise God. Men, this is the condemnation that men, the light came into the world, but men loved darkness because their deeds are evil, plural. But he who does the truth comes to the light. There's only one that does the truth. And this is the truth, that his deeds are wrought in God. A major building stone in all revelation from God is that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And there is no life that can produce a single thing that is truly good or truly righteous except for the life of the Father himself. Oh my goodness, praise the Lord. When you begin to understand this, whew, the light is that there is none of us who are good. There are none of us who are good. That's the light. The light is, I said it right. The light is, there are none of us who are good. The light is, there are none of us who are righteous. The light is, there is only one who is good. And you can't see the light until you try to produce what God wants you to produce and you find out what you really are. You find out that you can't do it. You find out that you're not truly good. And in that process, and only in that process, can you genuinely begin to despise your life and hate it, because you will see how corrupt it is. It is one of those things in this world that is in a constant state of decay. When God sees your life, friend, He sees something pitiful. He sees something terrible. He sees something that could never, ever produce anything that is valuable. It could never produce anything that would please God. As a matter of fact, its best effort, the best of the best of the best, John the Baptist, Jesus said, was the very best. Everything he did in the presence of God was as filthy rags. If you look that up, it's used menstrual cloths. Everything that he produced was so nasty in the presence of God. Yes, it was good among man, good among the law followers, but it paled in comparison to anything truly righteous or truly holy. It was so different from true righteousness that it was like used menstrual cloths in God's presence, friend. It stinks. It's nasty. Nobody wants to touch it. It's disgusting. Oh my goodness. When the Jews talked about, when Isaiah said all of our righteousness is as used menstrual cloths, you have to understand their culture. That was so disgusting. In their culture, the period of a woman was so disgusting that nobody could touch anything that she touched while she was on her period. Oh my goodness. It was that bad. She couldn't come to the temple. She couldn't come in God's presence. She couldn't touch, nobody could touch her or they would be unclean. When she was on her period, that was an extremely dirty thing in the presence of the Jews. And when Isaiah said, all of our righteousness is like that to God, if God will never touch it, God would never come close to it. God would never have anything to do with it because it would pollute him. It would pollute his kingdom. Oh my goodness, oh Holy Ghost, forgive us and help us see this today. Everything we do will pollute his kingdom. This is why we can't do anything. It must be the Father's life. We must learn to hate our own and to learn to yield and to believe in the one that he sent. It's the only way. It's the only way. And beloved, to find out the truth is a painful journey. To find out the truth is a painful journey. And many will not come to the light because their deeds are evil. And they don't want it to be exposed. Many preachers, friend, will reject what I'm saying because they love money, because they want success, because they want a good name, because they want a good life, because they want to be good. And they can't come to the light because the closer they get to the light, the more it's revealed that they are not good. And many of them will not come to the light. Even preachers, pastors, ministers, evangelists, prophets, they won't come to the light. Even many of them will not come because they don't want it to be exposed that they are evil, that they're really not good. They don't want to see it, and they sure don't want anybody else to see it. They've lived their whole life trying to present that they are good, trying to present to other people that they are righteous, that they do good. The last thing in the world that they want is for it to be exposed that everything that they do is unrighteous, impure, selfishly motivated, unclean, and filthy as menstrual cloths in God's presence. They don't want anybody to see that. Oh my goodness. The only ones really willing to come to the light are those who see what all of their deeds are, and they're done with themselves. They don't want it. That's why those who are justified are those who stand at a distance and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a worker of iniquity. They see what they are, and then they're primed, they're prepped, they're ready to believe in the one that he sent. Oh my goodness. You can't believe in the one that he sent until, I don't want to say this lightly. Holy Ghost, help us hear this today. Friend, you cannot believe in the one that he sent until you stop believing in you. It is not possible. You cannot be his disciple until you hate your own life. It's a fact, and it will never change for anybody or for any generation. Anybody who's trying to present themselves as good in any way, they do not yet know the truth. They don't know the truth. Even Jesus did not try to present himself as good. When they called him good, he rebuked them immediately. Why do you call me good? Only the Father in heaven is good. The works I do are not me. They're the Father working through me. Jesus was always dependent on and yielded to the Father. And he wasn't trying to build up himself or to get people to believe in a man. He was trying to get them to believe in the life of the Father. Oh my goodness, friend. One more time. If you cannot believe in the one that he sent until you stop believing in you. And wider than that, or more than that, until you stop believing in every man. If a man doesn't hate his own father and mother, brother and sister, wife and children, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. You don't just have to stop believing in you. Sometimes that's easier than stop believing in others. Many people see they're imperfect and they try to find someone to believe in. Some leader, some teacher, something. And ministers love that. Oh God, Adam loves that. Because if you depend on them, you'll give them your money. If you think they're righteous, if you think they're holy, you'll give them your money. And that's what they want, friend. They're after your money. They want you to support them. That's what it's all about. That you sustain their life. Because they don't want their life to end. They don't want their life to go bad. So they're looking for somebody to sustain it. Oh, beloved, Jesus, have mercy on all of us. Because we have no idea what we're doing. We have no idea what we're doing. So the ministers want to present themselves as good people. Most do. They want to present themselves as good, present themselves as righteous, present themselves as different than other people, so that we will support them, that we will sustain their life. Why? Because they love their life. It's why. This is why they hated Jesus. The ministers hated Jesus because they wanted people to sustain their life. And if Jesus revealed that their life was unclean, that their life was not perfect, that their life was unrighteous, people may stop sustaining it. People may stop giving their money for it. And that was terrifying to the Pharisee, terrifying to the scribes and the teachers of the law. If people find out we're not any different than them, they may not sustain our life. They may not support us. Oh my goodness, God have mercy. We have no idea what we're doing. Lord, open our eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I'm still being delivered every day by the grace of God, being delivered from trying to get people to sustain my life. The Bible's clear that we're not to muzzle the ox. I'm not saying this to take up an offering, But when we're fed by God, we should give to those that feed us. But we shouldn't, not to sustain their life, not because they're asking for partners or trying to present themselves in such a powerful way that we would sustain their life. Friend, there's a huge difference. We should give to the Word, that the Word can keep moving forward. The Word can keep spreading. We don't support the life of Adam. We support the Word. It's what we give to. It's why we give that unrighteous mammon so that the Word can continue to go forth. Oh my goodness. And beloved God, oh my goodness, God has so convicted me so many times of trying to seek money. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. If we don't hate money, we hate God. That's what Jesus said, period. You will love one and you will hate the other. You will despise one and you will cling to the other. There's no gray area. You either hate and despise God, or you hate and despise the monetary system. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If we love the things of this world, we will try to use our ministry gifts, use our anointing, use our talents, use our abilities to try to manipulate people into sustaining our own life. If we love our life, that's what we're looking for. But whenever we truly hate our life, by the grace, the life of the Father in us, we stop looking for money. We stop trying to manipulate people to get their money. It's not about the money. It's about the Word. It's about the kingdom of God. Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh man, this is so good. God is so marvelous. May we stop living and let Him live through us. That's the goal, friend. Those who cease to labor do enter into His rest. He, the steps of the righteous man, there's only one. I'll close with this. A guy came up to Jesus and said, if you can, help me, if you can. And Jesus said, if I can, all things are possible to him who believes. I thought he was talking to that guy about the guy. If you'll believe, it'll be possible. Jesus wasn't talking about the guy in that particular time. Jesus was talking about himself, because the guy questioned whether Jesus could do it. If you can, Jesus said, if I can, all things are possible to him who believes. Of course I can. Why? Because I believe. I'm the believer. I believe. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Woo, man, thank God. He crucified this unrighteous life that we have so that we would have a chance to believe in the righteous life of the Father and to confess what He's accomplished and to lay hold of it in the name of Jesus. God bless you today, beloved, in Jesus' name.